Our topic today is the chosen. We've got to realize that this thing of religion is something that must be personalized. We must have a personalized religion. The Bible must be a personal thing and draw us into a personal and intimate relationship with God. God's will is for us to personalize religion, personalize the Bible and the gospel, because that in reality is what it really is. It's a personal thing and must be individually applied. We have to personally and individually experience God, experience the truth, receive the truth, be benefited from the truth, be molded by the truth for ourselves and in our own soul. I want you to know for the record today that all Christians are disciples. There is no such thing as a genuine Christian who is just a seat warmer. That is, a person who comes to church every week, maybe even twice a week. And that's all their religion consists in, just coming into a church, sitting down, listening to someone else preach about what the Bible says. No such thing as a genuine Christian who does that and that alone. Yes, a genuine Christian comes to church because God says, forsake not the assemblings of yourselves together. And so much more so as you see the day approaching. So we are to come to church. We are to come together with great frequency. But that is not the full extent of what Christians do. All Christians are disciples. They are witnesses. They are ministers. They are ambassadors, everyone. They may not have a church like a pastor has, but they certainly are ministers, and they certainly have a congregation, a huge congregation. It starts in their home. It expands out to their other family members who may not live in their immediate home. They are a minister in their neighborhood. They are a minister on the job and God's preacher and disciple on the job where they work. When they go to the store, they are God's minister at that point in time, at that place in time. We all are ministers. We all are ambassadors. We all are disciples. All Christians are ministers, disciples, witnesses, and ambassadors. And God has chosen each one of us. And this is something we need to feel deep down in our souls. God has chosen us. You are not an accident. Your birth was by divine design. Your birth, your conception was by and because of divine appointment. It was God's work. It was God's decision. It was God's choice that you be conceived and born. It's not accidental. It's not coincidental. It was pre-decided by God and brought to pass by God. God chose you. And God chose you before you were even conceived. God certainly chose you when you were conceived. Every time a male has a relationship with his wife and implants seed into her womb, there are millions of different seeds. Each is a different individual. Every time there is an implantation of seeds in her womb. Every time there are millions of seeds, who decides at what point one of those seeds gets fertilized? God does. Who decides specifically which seed should be fertilized? God does. God chose you from your mother's womb. God chose you. He chose that seed which he knew was you, and he brought you into existence. You are chosen of God. You are here in this earth by divine design, by divine appointment. We must realize this. You are chosen of God. And now it is a choice, your choice. You must choose to receive your chosen position. You must choose to accept and realize that you are a chosen vessel of God. I don't care what your level of education is. The disciples of Jesus were uneducated men, unschooled, period. It doesn't matter how polished you can speak or how many gifts or talents you have. God gives gifts. God gives talents. God equips. God has chosen you, and God does not make mistakes. And so what you have to do, as enfeebled and as defective as you might feel like you are, you must choose to accept your chosen position. And God will do the rest. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you know what that text is telling us? It's telling us, as a matter of fact, it's telling you personally and individually, that God foreordained and predestinated you to be brought to himself. And he did this before the foundation of the world. God, who sees the end from the beginning, saw you. Oh, God, help us to believe this. He saw you personally and individually. He saw you before he created the heaven and the earth. Before he laid the foundation of the earth, he saw you. The Bible says, at that point, he predestinated you to be and belong to him. You belong to God. He wants you to be, and he wants you to belong to him. And he chose you from the foundation of the world. Infinite foresight saw you, chose you. You see, God orchestrated everything so that you would be brought into existence. He chose your parents. He chose your parents' parents and your parents' parents' parents. If he hadn't chosen specific seeds at every step, you would have never been here. All is the work of God. All is according to the predestinated decision of God, the predestinated work of God, and you are here now. And now it is your opportunity to choose to accept your chosen position. God went back 1,000 generations, 10,000 generations, picking very carefully so that in the development of time, you could come into existence. You're here now. It's time for you to accept your chosen, preordained position. Now, this is an unfortunate reality that's revealed in Matthew 22:14. This is what the Bible says. For many are called, but few are chosen. What is that telling us? That's telling us that God though he has chosen and called many, few accepted. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. God has called every human being whom he has allowed to be born into the world. But all do not choose their chosen position. Don't you let that be a mistake you make. There are many, yea, even millions, yea, even billions, who refuse to accept their chosen position. Therefore, many are called, but few become the chosen. Why? Because they refuse to accept it. It's not on God. God has called them. God has brought them here. God has chosen them. God has predestinated them. God has a place and a job for each one whom he has allowed to be conceived and born. But they must choose to accept that. They must choose to receive that. Otherwise, they will never benefit from what God desires and has designed for them. Because God can, but he will not use force. If we do not choose to receive, we will not. And what was predestinated for us, God will give to another. So, rather than you just having what God has predestinated for you, you will have that. And perhaps the predestinated blessing of 1,000 others who have rejected their chosen position. Now, when we move into the realm that God would have us to move into, that is receiving our chosen position, we enter into a warfare. The chosen of God are in a real and active warfare. A warfare between light and darkness, good and evil, God and Satan. We are not to sit on the sideline and just wait to be saved. Too many are in the churches like that. And will they be saved? No. They refuse to pay the cost. We pay the cost. We pay the cost. We who are the chosen pay the cost. Jesus says in John 15:19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Brethren, sisters, don't be discouraged because people do evil to you. Don't be discouraged because folk dislike you and hate you. Oftentimes it's even in the church. Oftentimes it's even among our family, close family, and friends. Don't become disheartened because people hate you and do evil against you and speak evil against you. It is part of paying the cost to accept this reality into your life. Jesus has told us that they've done it to me, they will do it to you. You will suffer for my name's sake. The Bible says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God says, don't think it a strange thing, the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. It's not a strange thing. God says, rejoice. Because if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, then the spirit of glory rests upon you. Oh, it's a blessing to suffer for Christ's sake. If we are reflecting Jesus and we suffer because of it, it's a blessing. Jesus suffered the same. And so will we who reflect him. Jesus tells us again in John chapter 15 and verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever that ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Jesus says, you haven't chosen me. Sometimes we think that we've chosen the Lord. Yes, we have. Only because he's chosen us first. That's the point. Jesus chose us. Jesus came in search of us. Jesus came and found us. Jesus went out to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why we have turned and come to him. He has first loved us. That's why we love him. That's why we have turned to him. He has drawn us and wooed us to himself. Jesus says, you haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you. And then he says, and ordained you. Listen, you may not be a minister who stands up in the pulpit, but Jesus says, I have ordained you. This is not just for the bishop and the pastor and the preacher. It's for every child of God. Every disciple of Jesus is ordained by the hand of Jesus. You are an ordained disciple. You are an ordained witness. You are an ordained minister. You are an ordained ambassador. You are an ordained individual as a Christian. And you have been ordained by the hand of Jesus. He declares it so. I have chosen you and ordained you. There's no higher authority. There are those who have been ordained by men, but not ordained of God. They carry no weight in God's reckoning of things. There are those who are ignored by the higher echelons in this world. They've been ordained by nobody, but they've been ordained by God, and they are of great estimate in the mind of God and in the realm of heaven. God's servants, filled with his power, exuding his power, blessing hundreds and thousands, storing up treasure in heaven, a vessel of God, a minister of God, an instrument of God, unrecognized by men, but counted great in the kingdom of heaven. I have not chosen the Lord, but the Lord has chosen me and ordained me. And then he says, I've ordained you so that you can go. Not just go sit on a church pew, but go to seek and to save the lost, to labor for lost souls, to work for the maimed, the lame, the blind, the widow, the orphan, to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Something that Christians don't do much of. The majority of their money goes for themselves. The majority of their time is invested in themselves. The majority of their efforts and strength and talent they use for themselves. They haven't paid the cost. It's got to change. Otherwise, Jesus says, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus says, go and bring forth fruit. He wants you to bring souls to his kingdom. He does the work. He just does it through you. He wants you to go. He doesn't leave the work up to you. It's not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon God. But God wants to work through you. It blesses you as God works through you. Oftentimes, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what to say. But God does, and he works through you. He will tell you what to say. He will impress the person's heart. He will convince them and convict them and convert them. That's the work of God, not your work. You just go and be used by God. Thus, he said, you will bring forth fruit, and your fruit will remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You know why? Because we ask according to his will. We ask in the faith of Jesus. us. Not for greed, not because of the lust of our eye and the lust of our flesh. We're asking according to the promises and word of God. We're asking for that which will equip us to do the work of God. Give me more patience, Lord. Those are the type of things we ask for. Give me more Holy Spirit power. Give me more wisdom and knowledge in your word. Give me more temperance and faith. Those are the type of things we need to plead for. Give me more opportunity to serve people and to witness to people. Open up doors so that I can give more of my money, more of my time, more of my talents for your kingdom's sake. Those are the type of things we pray for. Those are the type of things God will give us. We have to stop praying primarily for the things of this world, things for selfish consumption, money and material possessions and those types of things. We have to grow up and be genuine Christians. The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, the Bible tells us, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We thank God. God says that you are a chosen generation. Those of us who have accepted the predestinated will of God. God says, because we have chosen that, we have accepted that, we have received that, then we are now a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are the priests of God. We are the instruments through which God works to reach and to save the lost. We are a priesthood. I don't care your level of education. I don't care what your position is in the church. If you're a Christian, you're a member of the priesthood of God. You're a holy nation, God says. Why? Because the righteousness, which is of God by faith, the righteousness of Christ is beside your name in heaven. Based on that, you're accounted holy. As faulty as you are, the record in heaven shows that you're holy. Praise God. We are a peculiar people. We live according to righteousness. We don't live like the world. We don't live selfishly. We have paid the cost. We give the majority of our time, our talents, our efforts, our money to the kingdom of God and to the upbuilding of his kingdom. People say you're crazy, but we're saving up treasure in heaven. We don't live for the things on this earth. People say you should do this with your money. You should do this with your time. Why are you spending all that effort over there with those folk? You should promote yourself. You can have a better house. You can have a better car. You can save more money. We put God first. His kingdom first. We store up treasure in heaven. We go in the name of Jesus. We have paid the cost. We've counted the cost, and we have chosen to pay the cost. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people. It's no wonder that the world doesn't understand. Jesus says they won't understand, they will hate you. And it doesn't need to confuse us that that is the case. But we have our starting point in the Christian life. God points that out to us in 1 Peter 2. I'm going to start reading with verse 2. The Bible says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto lively stone, disavowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." That's what you are, chosen of God and precious. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." You ought to offer up spiritual sacrifices every day, often throughout the day. Those prayers that you send up in behalf of others, let them ascend frequently. For your friends, for your relatives, for your children, yea, even for yourself. You're a holy priesthood. You are the instrument through whom God works to save others. God says to him, you are chosen and precious. Now, when you first come to Christ, when you're first born again, you're a priest. You are a priest from that day forward. You don't sit around in the church 10 years and then you have to grow up a little bit and then you become a priest and then you become a witness. That's a lie of Satan that was conceived in the mind of Satan. He has taught us that so we'll sit down and do nothing for years. There is no instance in the Bible where you see an individual come to Christ and he blesses them and heals them. And they don't become an instant disciple, an instant witness. I didn't say they become an instant prophet. And that they knew all the doctrines of the Bibles and all of the teachings. I didn't say that. I said they become an instant minister, an instant witness, an instant disciple. They go out and tell the little that they do know. They go out and tell what the Lord has done for them. They go out and declare their love for the Lord. They go out and invite others to come to Jesus. They started from day one. They started from infancy. They started from their birth. From the point that we are a newborn babe in Christ, we are to be active. We are to go from that point in the name of Jesus. We don't have to go out and try to tell what we don't know. Someone asks us something about the Bible and we don't know it, we'll tell them, listen, I'm not certain. I'll have to go back and research that. But I will tell you what I do know. And you tell them that Jesus loves you and what he has done for you. You tell them that Jesus loves them and what he will do for them. And then you invite them to have Bible study with you. You invite them to worship with you. You do what you can within your sphere and God will bless. Don't talk about what you don't know. Talk about what you do. And the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. This is where many Christians fail. Yea, even most. They do not study the Bible. They do not drink the sincere milk of the word. They do not eat spiritual bread. If you're not careful, you're one of them. So many Christians are dead, completely dead spiritually. You know why? Because they have starved themselves to death spiritually. They never eat spiritual bread. If you think that coming to church once or twice a week can supply you with enough spiritual bread to stay alive, you're fooling yourself. Only thing you can do is be dead but not know you're dead. Because you go to church, you think you're alive. Because you talk on occasions about the Lord, you think you're alive. But you're not. No Holy Ghost power. No power to convince and convict and convert other hearts. God says, drink the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We need to eat of the spiritual bread, that is the word of God, the Bible. We need to eat of that two or three times a day. We eat physical food two or three times a day. We don't miss that. We don't feel like we can go two or three days or a week or two and don't eat physical food. Why is it that we think we can do it with the spiritual bread? Why is it that we think we can eat spiritual bread once a week? God help us. And I want to tell you, we need to study the Word of God for ourselves. Too many of us have a religion that consists in sitting down always and listening to what somebody else has to say. Study it for yourself. The Bible says, study to show thyself. There are so many falsehoods and errors being taught out here. You need to study the Word of God yourself. You cannot just listen to this minister and that minister and this minister and this sermon and that sermon and this sermon and this sermon. You need to go to God. Let him teach you personally and individually. That is what God would have us to do. As newborn babes, drink the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We want to grow up in Christ. Therefore, we need to drink the sincere milk of the word. We need to eat the bread of heaven, the word of God. Jesus said, eat my flesh. That's the word of God. We need to take that in two or three times a day. Then will we be strengthened, we will grow, we will flourish. One of the reasons why we don't is because we do not eat the spiritual bread. We do not drink the spiritual nourishment of the word enough. Get the Bible on tape. Listen to it all day. Read your Bible. Pray. And then share it with others. Share it. Don't just take it in. Share it. The more you give, the more God will give to you. And you'll grow. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." That's our job, to reconcile others to God, just as we are reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. You know, the ambassador of the United States represents the United States. We represent God and heaven in this earth. I don't care what your educational status is. I don't care what your status is in the church. People in the church might think you are a nobody, but that's not what heaven sees you as. You are an ambassador for Christ. You have been chosen by Jesus and ordained by him that you should go and bring forth much fruit, and your fruit should remain. God has said to you, "I have chosen you before the foundation of the world. I have predestinated you to be my child, my chosen one. I have called you from that point in time." Personalize it. Realize that God is talking to you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, help us to realize that we are the chosen. We have been called. Now, Lord, help us. Strengthen us. Give us a mind and a heart to choose to receive our chosen position. Lord, open us up that we might be receptive, that we might receive your fullness. And help us to live in the reality and in the confidence that we are a child of God. And then put within us the burning yearning to study the word for ourselves. That's what you tell us to do. Study to show thyself. Help us to do that. Oh, so many have been misled, believing for years things that are not true, lies, deceptions of Satan's. Lord, help us, deliver us from darkness. Strengthen us to study, to search, to be taught of God. That's what the new covenant is. They shall not teach every man their neighbor and every man their friend, saying, "Know the Lord," for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. God, you will teach us personally and individually. That is your will. The Holy Spirit is given to us individually to be our individual teacher. That is your will. We just don't have to depend on ministers and pastors. And you will come to us and teach us. Lord, we thank you. Help us to understand this and practice this. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.